Well, a landmark ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court this summer found that 3 million acres in eastern Oklahoma belongs to the Muscogee Creek Reservation, despite more than a century of white settlement. This could have ripple effects for Native American reservations across the country, including the boundaries of the Wind River Reservation and the city of Riverton, Wyoming, as Mountain West News Bureau's Savannah Marr reports.
Lately, I've been spending a lot of time in a municipal park in the middle of Riverton, Wyoming, and asking everyone I run into the same question. Are we on the Wind River Reservation right now?
No, we are not.
I believe that we are.
Yeah, we should be.
You know, I don't know.
I don't really know.
17-year-old Darius Tillman has an opinion.
Well, we should be. A lot of people would say, no, we're not. But, yeah, we're on the reservation.
Tillman is Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho, and he's lived in Riverton his whole life. He says most of the white kids he's grown up with feel entitled to the land we're sitting on.
You know, I'm not a fan of it, but there is an attitude that this is theirs, which I find funny.
Funny, he says, because his ancestors have been here a whole lot longer. Tillman doesn't blame his classmates. He says he never learned about the history of Riverton in school either. He's had to research it on his own.
One of the main things that I keep reading is that Riverton is land ceded from the Wind River Reservation, and that is such a strange way to put it.
Because for Tillman, ceded implies that the tribes had a choice. Wes Martell, an Eastern Shoshone tribal elder, puts it a little more bluntly.
They say that all that land was disestablished, which is a bunch of crap.
In 1868, the federal government set aside 3 million acres here for the, quote, absolute and undisturbed use and occupation of Shoshone people. But by 1905, Congress had shrunk the reservation by about half, and the U.S. Army placed another tribe here, the Northern Arapaho. There wasn't enough food to go around, so when the feds offered to facilitate the sale of some parcels on the reservation to white settlers, tribal leaders took the deal. Martell says they did so under duress.
You know, that's a dastardly deed in the history of the Wind River Reservation. You know, starve people so they have to submit.
More importantly, Martell says that 1905 land sales agreement didn't diminish the Wind River Reservation. It only allowed for white settlement within the existing boundaries. As proof, he cites the fact that the federal government never paid for the land. It just agreed to facilitate sales. In 2016, the tribes took that argument to federal court and lost. They appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which declined to hear the case. Fremont County Attorney Patrick LeBrun says that should have put this issue to bed. He points to an act of Congress that formalized the 1905 agreement.
The language used clearly indicated diminishment. In other words, the reservation was gone. They just weren't going to get paid for it immediately, just as it was sold into the future.
Riverton Mayor Richard Gard agrees.
The opinion of the populace really doesn't matter, does it? And so to continue to pick at this, this has been decided on more than one occasion by the courts.
But the Wind River case may get yet another hearing, and this time Justice Neil Gorsuch is on the U.S. Supreme Court. Gorsuch is a Westerner with a deep knowledge of federal Indian law. He wrote the majority opinion in the recent McGirt versus Oklahoma decision, stating that it takes a clear act of Congress to diminish the boundaries of a reservation. Angelique Eaglewoman says that in the Wind River case, the congressional language was far from clear.
Reading in inferences to the 1905 Act is the only way the majority got to their decision. And to me, that is unjust and an error and should be corrected.
Eaglewoman is a professor of Indian law at the Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota. She says the Oklahoma ruling sets an important precedent. When there's ambiguity in these sorts of cases, courts have to err in favor of tribes.
This decision is a wake-up call to state governments and local municipalities that treaties are going to be taken seriously, as they always should have been, by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho tribal leaders say they're taking a hard look at the McGirt versus Oklahoma decision and might consider taking their case back to court. But right now, they have their hands full fighting the novel coronavirus. Tribal members like Darius Tillman hope their leaders will make re-establishing the reservation a priority.
And I think this is a new generation, and we need to relook at that history, and we need to determine what needs to be done so that the people here, especially the indigenous people, can be successful.
For Here and Now, I'm Savannah Marr.